chapter 12. The book of Acts, chapter number 12. We're going to read a few verses, then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Give you just a moment to turn there. We're going to read verse 11 through verse number 17 in Acts chapter number 12. And then we'll pray. Acts chapter 12, beginning in verse number 11. The Bible said, "And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad, but she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go, show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place." Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for letting us be here today, for all the many blessings that you've given us. Lord, we have had a lot of objects of prayer mentioned this morning, prayer requests. We don't want to forget those. We don't want to forget those that are sick, those that would love to be able to be here, but they're just not able. And then we have some that are traveling and out of town and things like that. We pray for them. But Lord, most of all, we pray you'd meet with us today. We pray you'd speak to our hearts. We pray you'd forgive us of our sins where we failed you. We plead your blood. We realize that as we come to this morning, that Lord, in and of ourselves, we're nothing. We pray for liberty. We pray you'd bind the devil that he'd not be able to hinder. And we pray the word of the Lord would have free course, that you would speak to our hearts on this Mother's Day. God, your word says that we're to honor our fathers and our mothers, that it might be well with us. God, I pray, and I thank you for our moms, our grandmothers, the ladies in the church. What a great blessing they are to us. And so, Lord, we do want to honor them. But, Lord, we realize that it's all because of you and your blessings and your grace that anybody can say that they have or had a Christian mother. And so we thank you for that today, and we pray you'd have your way. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen. Let's go back to verse number 12, and we'll read that verse one more time, and we'll take some thoughts out of this verse and this passage of Scripture. The Bible said, "And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying." Now, those that were here last Wednesday night, you've already have the background of this passage of Scripture and even some of the things I'm going to bring out today, because we've just started on Wednesday night a study in the book of Mark. And so as we started this study in the book of Mark, we took Wednesday night and we looked at John Mark. And that's who this is talking about here in verse number 12. This man where it says Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. And we spent some time talking about John Mark's life. And this is John Mark that God used through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to pen down the gospel of Mark. So we spent some time on Wednesday night looking at Mark's life. And today, without repeating too much of what I said on last Wednesday night, I felt led to come back to this passage of Scripture. And we won't try to preach today on the subject out of verse number 12, where it just simply says this, the house of Mary. That's what I want to try to preach on this morning, if the Lord will help for just a little while. I want to try to preach on the house of Mary. The Bible says the house of Mary, the mother of Mark. And we think about this morning, just looking at that passage of Scripture, and I have just honestly, I've never really noticed that before, that John Mark's mother is mentioned this way in the Bible. But we look at this passage of Scripture, we can learn some things about the house of Mary. What kind of house was the house of Mary? And what kind of mother was Mary? Now, there's many Marys that are mentioned in the Bible, but this Mary, the mother of John Mark, what kind of mother was she? And so I think it'll be fitting to look at that, seeing that today's Mother's Day, but it's also a good time to examine our houses, our homes. What kind of homes do we have and provide for our children? Now, the word house in the Bible, it has a dual meaning, and we use it the same way. It means a house, like a residence, or an abode. That's what the word literally means. And it also means a family. Your house, your home. We use those words interchangeably, and I'll probably do the same thing today. But when we're talking about the house of Mary, we're talking about the home, the kind of home that John Mark was raised up in. And the home in the Bible, or house in the Bible, is very, very important. 1 Timothy chapter number 3 gives the qualifications for a bishop or for a pastor. And it talks over there when it begins to talk about this important office in the church, being a bishop or being a pastor. Some of the things it talks about to begin with, it says, one that ruleth well his own house. For how can he take care of the church of God if he's not able to rule well his own house? And it's talking there in the context of the Scripture. It's talking about his children, and it's talking about his wife. So it's talking about his family is what it's talking about. It's not talking about keeping the light bulbs changed or mowing the grass or something that you might physically do around the house, but it's talking about his family. It's what it's talking about. So the family is very, very important, and many examples we could give from the Bible. But the first and the most obvious thing to notice about Mary's house is found in verse number 12. And I want to say, first of all, today that her house was a praying house. It said in verse number 12, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Notice what it says, where many were gathered together praying. And so she was holding, actually, if we studied this out, an all-night prayer meeting in her house. If you look back at verse number 5, you'll find over there that Peter, of course, he'd been arrested. He had been put in prison. The Bible said in verse 5, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I really like that passage of Scripture. And so the church was meeting in Mary's house, and they were having an all-night prayer meeting. Now, there's a lot of things that we could say about Mary and that we could say about her house. We could say one thing about Mary's house. It was not a perfect house. You know, there's no such thing as a perfect house. And I think about this when I was pastoring in Idaho. I remember one time Mother's Day came around, and I went to the church, and I told them when I got up to preach, I said, I'm sorry, the Lord has just not laid on my heart a Mother's Day message. I don't have a Mother's Day message to preach this morning. And I went on, I preached what the Lord had laid on my heart. But there's a lady in the church, her name is Sister Karen, and she was always such a blessing to me. And she had a lot of wisdom, and she said it to me after church. She said, Pastor, she said, that's all right. I didn't want to go home feeling guilty today anyway. And so she didn't care that I didn't have a Mother's Day message to preach. But she had a good home, a godly home. And I always remember her saying that I was glad because I didn't want to go home feeling guilty. Nobody has a perfect home. That's not saying we shouldn't try to have the best homes that we have, but no doubt Mary's home and John Mark's home was not a perfect home. It was not a two-parent home. Nowhere in the Bible do you read about John Mark's father. Or even if he had a father, maybe it was a mixed marriage at one time because John is a Jewish name and Mark is a Gentile or a Roman name. So maybe his dad was Gentile. Maybe it was something else. We don't know. The Bible does not say. I've read that she was a widow, but I don't know where that comes from because John Mark's father is never mentioned. But here's Mary, and she's raising John Mark evidently alone, and she's doing the very, very best that she can in with what she has, and her house is a praying house. And you know what? That's worth a whole lot this morning to have a praying mother or a praying woman or a praying grandmother. You know, our houses may not be the biggest houses. They may not be the richest houses on the block. They may not be the nicest houses. They may not be houses that have degrees and awards hanging on the walls or things like that. But whatever our physical house is like, that is no hindrance to how spiritual our houses ought to be. What I'm saying this morning, it doesn't cost you anything to have a praying house. In fact, some of the poorest houses are more likely to be some of the prayingest houses. And it's not going to cost you anything as parents, mothers, fathers, to provide for our children an atmosphere of prayer for them to grow up in. You should have, prayer should be so common in our homes that our children would not think something was wrong if they came in and found us praying down on our knees. If they came in and they heard Mama praying, or if they walked into the room and saw Dad down on his knees praying, it shouldn't alarm the children. Would your children be alarmed? Would they think something was really bad wrong if they came in and found you praying? If that's how your prayer life is, I believe I'd check up on it. Prayer ought to be common in our homes. It's not going to cost you anything to meet around the bed at bedtime and have a time of prayer, to make sure that there is prayer at the meals, to make sure that when you do have problems, when you do have emergencies come into your life, that it is common, it should be expected that the family would stop and have prayer together. And in doing that, we'll raise children that'll come to an age where they'll pray. They'll pray. Prayer should be common in our homes. It is so very important that God Himself desires that His house be called a house of prayer. You know that, don't you? Isaiah chapter 56, I believe it's verse 17. The Bible said, my prayer shall be a house of prayer for all nations. So I thought about that. If God desires that His house be a house of prayer, don't you think our houses ought to be houses of prayer? We ought to pray together. We ought to pray with our children. We ought to pray at meals. We ought to pray at bedtime. Who cares about a palace to live in if it comes with a mama like Jezebel? You know, Ahab and Jezebel had a lot of children, but I don't think any of them turned out to be worth anything. I'd rather live in a little old hut. I'd rather live in a little abode. I'd rather live poor and have a good godly mama like Hannah was. You remember reading over there about Hannah, how she was barren and she didn't have any children, but she went and she prayed to God. What did she have? She didn't have any children, but I'm telling you, she had a mother's heart. And she went before God and she said, oh God, if you'll just give me a son, I'll give him back to you. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord gave her a son. And then she had other children as well, but buddy, she was a praying mama. Thank God today if you can look back and think back in your life and say, I had a praying mama. I was raised in a praying house. I know something about prayer, the power of God, and answers to prayer because I was raised in a house like that. If you were, you're glad. It's not going to cost you anything to have prayer in your house. Mary had prayer in her house. There's an all-night prayer meeting taking place. So it was a praying house. Second of all, this morning, Mary's house was a preferred house. Now, look in verse number 12. I want to show you something. The Bible said there again, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John. Now, the thing is that he is miraculously delivered from prison in the middle of the night. And Peter finds himself literally out on the street in the middle of the night. And when he had considered it the thing, that means that Peter, here he is, he's in prison. Next thing you know, God's delivered him out of prison. And he's out on the street. And it's the middle of the night. And he thinks to himself, what am I going to do? And he thinks to himself, I know a place where I can go in the wee hours of the night and the door will be open unto me. And that was Mary's house. Now, some of you had mothers. Some of you grew up. Now, every home is not like that. But Mary's home was a home when the saints of God, the people of God, thought, where can I go in the middle of the night? I believe I'll be welcomed at Mary's house. It's a preferred house. That's what I mean in saying that. There is a Bible word for that kind of house. It's called hospitality. Hospitality, that means to be fond of strangers. That means to be an entertainer of people. It means to have the welcome mat rolled out and really, really mean it. You know, a lot of times when we go and knock on doors and you go to apartments or you go to houses and you find that there's a welcome mat, literally might say welcome out there. And you know what I found out? Not all houses that has a welcome mat means it. Some of them you might be unwelcome. And that's how homes are as well. But now Mary's house had the welcome mat rolled out all the time. And she really meant it. She was a person that had hospitality and knew what it was to have people come into her home. Now, I grew up in a home. I grew up in a house. My mother never was one. My mom, we never called her mother, but mom or mama. She never was one to take in stray cats, stray dogs, things like that. But I'm telling you, she'd take in a stray child. What do you mean by that? Our home was the neighborhood hangout. There's always children around. There's always teenagers around when we was growing up. Our home in the neighborhood was the preferred place to go and to hang out and for the boys to play outside and run through the yard and sit in the house and watch TV. I think about that, how open our home was. I mean, you'd go there at any time and there'd likely to be any number of boys in the house. It's just a welcoming atmosphere. There's always somebody around our house, cousins around, neighbors around, boys around, playing in the house. It takes a special personality to have a home like that. Not everybody has a home like that. Not every home is a preferred home. If you're going to have children in, and I've seen this with my own eyes, if you're going to have the church into your house, if you're going to have a lot of people into your house, we experience that firsthand out in Idaho. If somebody says, I'll open up my house for a prayer meeting, you cannot be the kind of person that gets all bent out of shape over a little dirt tracked in. Over setting a glass where there's not a coaster and stuff like that. You got to be, if you're going to be hospitable, if you're going to have an open door like Mary had in her home, you're going to have to be real easygoing. My mom is probably the most easygoing person I know when it comes to stuff like that. She'd let the boys come and go, and sometimes all hours of the night, reasonably speaking, not in the middle of the night, but it takes a special type of person to open their home like that. Mary had that personality. Now, a house might be for show, and a lot are. It's just so, and it's got to stay that way. But a home is meant to live in, love in, laugh in, track some dirt in, spill some milk. All that kind of stuff's going to go on when you have people coming and going. But Mary's house was like that. And as I think about Mary, I think about a person that had to be easygoing and welcoming in her home. Thank God for mothers like that. If you're a mother of children, you're going to have youngins coming and going all throughout. How's your home when your friends, when your children's friends come over? It was a preferred house, Mary's house. And we see that and gather it from the scripture. But number three, and I like this, her house was also a protected house. Now look in verse number 13 and verse 14. The Bible said, and here's Peter coming in the middle of the night. It said, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. There's three times the gate is mentioned in these two verses, and Peter's out there knocking, trying to get into the house. But you know what? As I study this passage of Scripture, that tells me that Mary had some sense about her, that her house was a place that was protected, that was guarded from what came and went. She had a gate that was locked, and she had some control over what was coming and going into her house and into her home. I am afraid in this modern day, mainly through technology, we have let ourselves be very infiltrated by the world and by harmful things into our homes. But we need some mamas and daddies once again that will realize how important it is to have some gates around their house. Because if you don't, everything under the sun is liable to come into your house. We need to have some sense about what we allow coming and going into our houses. And mainly it's this technology thing. I mean, it is hard. It is very hard to keep dibs on and track of all the things that can come into your house through TV, computers, cell phones, smartphones, all those kinds of things. I'm telling you, parents are up against it when it comes to protecting our children and monitoring and even knowing what is coming and going in the house. Boy, I'll tell you, I was raised in the good old days when there was one telephone in the house. You remember that? And it was in the hallway. And you young people may not recognize it or remember it, but it was attached to the wall with a cord. Ours was in the hallway. I mean, there's nowhere to hide. And for a long time, that cord was only about that long. So I remember as a young boy, if I wanted to call a girl, you talk about, if you wanted to talk to a girl on the phone, you really wanted to talk to her bad. Because you had to get right there in the middle of the house and you had to dial the number, and she only had one number and you had one number. And I remember this. I remember wanting to talk to a girl and getting up the courage and dialing the number and saying, "Oh Lord, please don't let her daddy or mama answer the phone." You talk about intimidate. And then you're going to have, if you, whatever you're going to say, you're going to have to say it in front of the whole household. And we did, we could get right in the corner of the bathroom and close the door, but we had them old hollow core birch doors in our house and you could hear everything through them. And you know, if you wanted to hear, all you had to do is just sort of walk through the hallway into the kitchen. Boy, them's the good old days. I mean, you could keep up. You could hear what youngins are talking about. Tell me, how are you going to keep up with this? Somebody's got a little phone in their pocket and they're pulling that thing out and beepity beep, stick it back in. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what they're talking about. When I was a little boy, if we wanted to watch TV, we watched it in the living room. We only had one TV. And it was right out in the middle of the house. And if you wanted to change channels, you had to get up out of your chair and you had to go over and change channels. And it was a lot more trouble to watch TV than nobody sat around, just got up and changed and went back. It was aggravating. You bought a TV guide and you decided what you was going to watch beforehand. You watched it and you cut it off. But I'm telling you this, in our home, our TV had parental controls before all this modern technology came out where you can somehow program your television not to turn on to certain things. Our TV had parental controls. It was called Mama. That's the parental controls we had. And so Mama would come through and we'd be watching something she didn't approve of. And you know what Mama would say? Mama would say, "You're not watching that." And she'd go over and cut it off and kick us out in the yard. Amen. Or he'd go outside and get some fresh air and exercise and things like that. And if Mama walked by your room and you was listening to something she didn't approve of, we had parental controls. Mama would come in, say, "What is this? We're not having this in the house." She tore up one of my records one time. I told you about that. There's just certain things you wasn't going to have. It wasn't going to happen. Mama said, "You're going to be home at a certain hour." And there was no arguing about it. Mama said that anything after 12 o'clock, there wasn't nothing you need to be involved in out there. So you be home an hour before then. You be home at 11 o'clock. Nothing good goes on after that's what Mama said. Some protection in the house. Buddy, I'm telling you, we need some protection in our houses. Some monitoring of what... Now you young people, I know you don't like to hear that, but you just might as well recognize that your parents know a little bit more than you do. They have been around the block a few times and made some mistakes in their life. And if you would just listen, save you a lot of grief and heartache. Save you from looking like a big dummy. That's what they're trying to help you. They're trying to help you through the rocky, hard times of life and trying to keep you from being embarrassed. Just listen to them. Just give them the benefit of the doubt that maybe they know what they're talking about. Amen. John Mark's mother had some locks on the doors. And when somebody come in the middle of the night knocking on the door, it's not she wasn't going to let them in, but we better make sure who's coming in. Some protection. You better have it because you used to could depend a little bit on the schools to have some protection for the morality and how it would impact our children, but no longer. No longer can you trust the school to do the right thing. You better know what's going on. You better know what's coming and going. You better know what's on the televisions and computers and cell phones and all that bunch of junk. Lock them up. Put them in the closet. Take them away at night. Do whatever you got to do, but have some protection in your home. If not, you'll be sorry one day. Very possibly, she had a protected house. Number four, she had a praising house. I like this. Look at verse 16. The Bible said, "But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he," notice what he does, "beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace." Now he got everybody together and said, "This is exciting time. Let me just tell you what happened." That's what he's doing. It said he declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. Well, I like that. He declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. You know, there's places in this world, school, work, where you do your shopping, you're surrounded by people, they're lost, they don't go to church. There's certain areas, if you stood up and you praised the Lord, or you said, "I'm going to pray about something," they would look at you like you were speaking a foreign language. They would look at you. They don't understand that at all. They would think to themselves, say at school maybe if you stood up and said, I just want to tell what the Lord done for me, how He answered a prayer over the weekend. If you stood up tomorrow in school, a lot of them would not understand what you were talking about. And they would think they're crazy. That was just good luck. That could have been any way. They wouldn't understand. But you know what? Home ought to be the place where praise is recognized and encouraged. And like he said in verse number 17, he declared unto them how the Lord had brought it. The Lord ought to be mentioned quite often in our homes. Let me tell you what the Lord done for me. Let me tell you how the Lord answered a prayer for me. Let me tell you what I've been praying about. Let me tell you, Mary's house was a praising house. You know, it ought to be a place where the Lord is mentioned quite often. Praise and answer to prayer ought to be a normal, ongoing thing in our homes if we love the Lord. And not hypocrisy either. I'm going to preach a message one of these days, how to make unconverts. How to make unconverts. How to lose our young people. How to drive them off from the things of God. If you want them to grow up to reject the things of God, just make sure you have a lot of hypocrisy in your home. And criticism of the things of God and scoffing at the Bible and then make sure that you have a lot of fighting going on in your home and bickering and stuff like that. Boy, that'll drive a wedge. That'll drive young people away. The devil is in this bickering and fighting and arguing and all that bunch of junk. God is never in that. If there's one thing I hate and despise and outlaw at my house, and we're just not going to live that way. Fighting and bickering and slamming. And let me tell you something. That your home, this world is hard. Life is hard. There's going to be a lot of scratching and clawing and fighting. The best you can do. Don't make your home that way. Home ought to be a sanctuary. Home ought to be the place where you can come in from a hard week or hard school or problems and trials, and you can shut the door and it'll be a little heaven on earth, and you get along and love each other and you be kind to one another. Don't kill and destroy and stab one another at home. A lot of times that's how families are, and people wonder, why don't nobody want to go home? Buddy, at the end of the day, that's the one place I do want to go to. I want to go home. I want to be with my family. I want to shut out the world. I want to get along. I want to love one another. I want to have peace. That's what heaven's going to be. That's what your home ought to be. And if it's not, you let the devil in and you give him the victory, and you're going to lose your youngins and you're going to lose your marriage. And I'm telling you, you'd better get along at home. Love one another. Like Jesus said, hey, you want to be my disciple? You want me to tell you the secret? Love one another. Love is not having a knock down and drag out and then come along and say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. Love is not doing it to begin with. Because you love them. And you don't want to hurt them. I believe Mary's home was a home like that because they had prayer answered in that home. And if you want your prayers to be hindered, you just make sure the relationship between the husband and the wife is not right. Read 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 3, one of them. I can't remember exactly right now. But her house was a praising house. Psalms 133 verse number 1 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Boy, I like that. And I believe we could go on and say, how good and how pleasant it is for sistren to dwell together in unity. And how good and how pleasant it is for mothering and daughtering to dwell together in unity, and fathering and sonering, and sistering and brothering to get along in unity. It's a blessed, wonderful thing. But you let fighting go on in the house of God. You let fighting go on down at your house. And I'm not being mean this morning, but it's hell on earth. It ought not to be so. Y'all ought to fight against that. Trying to help you this morning. Or just go home and fight it out. But it's a whole lot better just to get along and love one another. When everybody in this world has come and gone in your life, and you're sitting down at the nursing home or in the hospital, there's going to be very few come around in your last days. If you've done right, it'll be your children, it'll be your family. It's the most precious thing God gives you on this earth besides salvation. You better get along. Better do all you can to get along. Her house is a praising house. Praise will keep a lot of friction out of your home. And just acknowledging the Lord, praising the Lord, praying in your house, not being hypocritical, but being real. Nobody's perfect. Try to do the best you can. Love God. Honor Him. Her house was a praising house. Number five and last of all, I like this. Her house was a producing house. Now, it says in verse number 12, and when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. This is John Mark that wrote the Gospel of Mark. Mark became a disciple. Now, Mark had a few mistakes in his life, don't we all? But he became a very dedicated disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, a servant. Paul called him a fellow laborer. Paul said, bring Mark. He is profitable unto me for the ministry. He became a writer. He became a missionary. He became a leader. He became, later on in his life, I believe from history, he became a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of home produces great disciples? The kind of home Mary had. There wasn't nothing special about it except it was special because of the grace of God. There's nothing special about your home apart from the grace of God. Mary's kind of house produced a great Christian. Wouldn't it be good if we could have a house like Mary's house? Even in these last days with all the temptation and pull and all of the things that are going on, I do believe it is still possible to have a house like Mary's house. It's not anything greatly complicated in what I've preached this morning. Just to have a house like Mary's house. I want to say before I close this morning to the moms and dads that are here and you've got children in your home, I want to say this to you. You're only going to get one shot at this thing of being a parent. And it is going to fly by so fast, you're going to blink your eyes and say, where did they go? I've got one. I've got them on both ends. I cannot believe I've got a son almost 21 years old. Where did it go? And let me tell you young people something. If you're the oldest, give your mom and daddy some slack. You're the first one. They're practicing on you. They don't know. I didn't know anything about raising children. I mean, it's just a great experiment. And the grace of God, if you're sitting here hearing what I got to say today, just give your mom and dad some slack. My goodness. They didn't come into this world. And parenting is a lot of trial and error. And if you're way down the line somewhere, and you, of course, don't think your parents are perfect, and they're not doing right, give them some slack. By the time they get to you, they're wore out. They're just hoping by the grace of God they can do right by you too. But I'm telling you, it is not easy to be a parent. Huh? What's wrong with mom and daddy? Might be you. Amen. Why don't you get right with God? But you examine your heart. Maybe things would go easier. Maybe you'd see mama and daddy in a different light. I promise you, they're trying. They're not perfect. They're messing up. I'm messing up every day. I'm telling you, being daddy is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. I've worn a lot of different hats, but I'm continually scratching. And you think you got one figured out, and the next one's different. And don't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. Nobody has two children just alike. They're just opposites. So what you done with one and it worked, with the second one it doesn't work. Now you got to go back and think again. What am I going to do with this one? They're nature totally different. I'll tell you, in my family, it's an odd thing. All the bad characteristics come from one parent, and all the good ones come from the other. Now, I'm not saying which is which, but that's how it is. I'm kidding. All the good they've got come from my beautiful wife, and all the bad things about them come from me. Boy, as a parent, can't you see that? Isn't it a startling thing? Isn't it a humbling thing when you look at your children and they're doing something that you despise? But you can see yourself. You can see exactly where that come from. You can remember back how you treated your mom and daddy and things you done and attitude and how hard-headed you are. And you look at them and you say, buddy, that's me right there. Man, that'll make you have some prayer meeting in your house. God, don't let them be like me. This time, let them be like their mama. If it's something good. Now, that's how parenting is. So Mary had a great house as far as I'm concerned, and I believe God was happy with her house as well. I'll tell you, you're only going to get one shot at this thing, and you ought to have a desire to make your parenting experience one with minimal regret. You're going to have regrets, but Lord, please let them be at a minimal. Let me make more good choices than bad. Boy, it takes a lot of wisdom and a lot of grace of God to raise a child in this day and time. Lord, let me have a house like Mary's house, and I believe it'd be all right in the end. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. I'll ask the